Amen. Good singing, fellas. Praise the Lord. I appreciate you singing. All right, put away our hymn books and let's take our Bibles. Pick up our Bibles. If you don't want a Bible, anybody want a Bible that doesn't have one? I'll bring you one if you want one. Anybody else want a Bible to follow along? We're in the book of Matthew tonight. Anybody else want a Bible? All right. You have your Bibles. I want you to take them to the Gospel of Matthew. No, the Gospel of Luke. Sorry. The Gospel of Luke, chapter number 15. The Gospel of Luke, chapter number 15. Share with you some thoughts. Oh, anybody else want a Bible? Luke, chapter number 15. Matthew, Mark, Luke. It's in the New Testament, third book over. Luke, chapter number 15. Last time I was here, I preached on a very lengthy message last time. I preached on one of the parables of the Lord Jesus, what we've been studying at our church. And so I want to share another one of those parables with you tonight in Luke chapter number 15 and verse number 1 down through verse number 7. You know, Luke 15 is a very interesting chapter. Many people call it the lost and found of the Bible. There are several parables that Jesus told. One was about a lost sheep. That's what we'll look at tonight. Another one is about a lost coin, a lost piece of silver. And then the other one is a lost son. That's the parable of the prodigal son. And so we're going to look at the first one in that lost chapter. I like to call the lost chapter in Luke 15. Look at verse number 1. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than 99 just persons which need no repentance. I want to talk to you about the parable of the lost sheep. The parable of the lost sheep. Read a story a while back about the Hall of Famer, Walter Payton, one of my favorite football players when I was a kid. I was a big Chicago Bears fan when they won that Super Bowl back in Super Bowl 20. And there was nobody that could run the ball like Walter Payton. They called him Sweetness. Man, he could just glide through the field. I love Walter Payton. One thing about Walter Payton is he liked to invest in young people. And so Walter Payton was helping a local high school basketball team where he lived and trying to help them build their confidence, trying to teach them about the skills of a champion, have a champion's kind of attitude. And one time, according to Fred Mitchell in the Chicago Tribune, one time he took his prized possession, his Super Bowl 20 ring, and brought it and showed it to the group. And he wanted to teach them a lesson about trust. And so he took the ring. This is a very special ring, no doubt. It has his name on it, has his number, has his position, memorable time that he won the Super Bowl. And he gave that ring, very valuable possession, to one of the high school basketball players to keep for the weekend. And he wanted to teach them about trust. Well, the young man took it home for the weekend, and obviously he called everybody, all of his friends, all of his pals, all of his teammates, everybody come by to see that championship ring of Walter Payton. Well, by the end of the weekend, one of those so-called friends had stolen the ring. It was gone. No one could find it. Walter Payton was disappointed, obviously, but he had confidence that whoever took the ring would feel sorry for what they've done and maybe return the ring, maybe bring it back to him. So he did not tell the authorities for quite some time. But after 5 months, he could wait no longer. He had to have his keepsake ring back. So he reported the theft to the police and offered a reward for information leading to its recovery. One of the most painful experiences in life that Walter Payton could attest to is to lose something very valuable. Have you ever lost something valuable before? Grandpa's watch, grandma's wedding ring, something priceless, something that cannot be replaced. You know, in some sense, that is precisely what has happened to God. The people whom God had made in His image became lost to Him through sin. You know, lost people matter to God. Some may question why I would spend an evening away from my family and so many things that I could be doing other than being here to come down and talk to you about Jesus. Some may question that, but the reality is God loves lost people, and I'm supposed to love lost people too. God loves people that don't know Him. God wants all men everywhere to repent, to come to know Him. That is why He devoted this entire chapter in Luke 15 to the subject of being lost. It's lost people. God loves lost people. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4:3, but if our gospel is hid, it is hid to them that are lost. But thank God Jesus came to, as Luke 19:10 says, to seek and to save the lost. I want you to understand something. When Jesus came, He didn't come to the highbrow religious that can't see their sin and can't see their need for Christ. He came to the publicans and the sinners and the prostitute and the low rung of society to pull them and point them to Himself. He came to seek and save the lost. Jesus shared this parable in response to criticism. Did you catch the criticism? In verse number 1, we see that Jesus drew near the publicans and sinners, and the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, "This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." They condemned Jesus for spending His time with publicans and sinners, inviting them to sit down and eat a meal with Him. But that is exactly the truth. That's what Jesus did. I'm convinced that if Jesus were to have His physical presence on this earth tonight, this very evening, do you know where He'd be? He wouldn't be in the biggest church in Chattanooga. He wouldn't be in the high society places of the city. He'd be right here in rescue missions and local jails and places where people need to hear Christ and are able to receive that message. You see, Jesus told this parable to refute the idea that the scribes and Pharisees were putting across that Jesus should not be around these people. But I like the fact that Jesus likes to be around sinners, because you know what? It's a good thing that He does, because if He didn't hang around sinners, then ain't none of us would ever know Him. Ain't none of us would ever be close to Him. Ain't none of us would ever know Him and have the forgiveness of our sins. Because all of us are sinners. I don't care if you're in the high society places of Chattanooga or in the lowest of the low. We're all sinners in need of a Savior. You see, through this parable, Jesus teaches us that He associates with those who deeply need Him and know that they need Him. He does this by teaching, and we see here, a parable about a lost sheep. Every person here tonight, saved or lost, can see three facts about how that God seeks out sinners in this parable. I want you to see, first of all, what the shepherd knows about sheep. What the shepherd knows about sheep. I believe that Jesus is a master storyteller, and He picks the subject matter and the and the things that he uses to tell a story for a very intentional purpose. And so I do not believe it's an accident that Jesus uses the subject of sheep to teach about lost people. Because it is a fitting description of someone who is lost, who is away from the Lord. Isaiah 53:6, Isaiah put it this way, we all like sheep have gone astray. 1 Peter 2:25 says, for ye were as sheep going astray. Psalm 100 in verse number 3, we are his people, the sheep of his pasture. All through the Bible, it is making a comparison between us and sheep. And really, there really is no better picture of sin, the sin-broken condition of man than sheep. But Jesus here, who says of himself that he is the great shepherd, knows a thing or two about sheep. I want us to look at verse number 4 and think about sheep. You see, we cannot, not a lot is explained in verse 4 concerning why he left behind the sheep. Notice what he said. Verse number 4, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth leave the 99. Why does he talk about sheep in this way? Why did he leave the 99 to find the lost sheep? But because there are a few things that a shepherd knows about lost sheep that we need to understand. If we're going to understand what Jesus is trying to communicate to us, we need to understand something about sheep. And the first thing I want you to understand about sheep is that sheep are dumb. Sheep are dumb. To be compared to a sheep is not a very flattering description, because sheep aren't smart animals. I mean, have you ever gone to the circus and seen a sheep act come out? No, because they're idiots. They're dumb. They cannot be trained. Listen. And the thing about sheep is, and the reason that he compares them to lost people is because, hey, like it or not, we're dumb. We do dumb stuff. We're a whole lot like sheep. It takes a lot to train us. It takes a lot of things to get us to learn something. I mean, listen, how many times do you keep going back to the same sin over and over, and you know the consequences? You know what can take place when you go to the same sin over and over, despite the avalanche of consequences that could come from the discovery of that sin. We are just as dumb as sheep. We use drugs that ravage the body and destroy our bodies. We have relationships that obliterate our marriages. I have seen people who could wallpaper their bathrooms in educational degrees make some of the stupidest decisions in life when it came to moral matters. Sheep are dumb. No offense. We are too. We make dumb decisions. Sheep are not only dumb, sheep are dirty. Sheep are filthy animals. You know the one redeeming characteristic of a cat is that it has enough sense to clean itself. That's only redeeming. I guess we got a bunch of cat lovers here. I'm not. But even a dog, when a dog is dirty, it'll find a stream to waddle around in. Even dumb birds come down and get in a mud puddle or a bird bath and wash themselves off. But sheep have no concept of being clean. They have to have someone else to come and wash them, or they will remain filthy. In 2 Corinthians, Paul talked about how that the lost are blinded by the god of this world. Man thinks that morality will make him clean before God. And when the Bible says that all of our righteousness before God is as filthy rags, if you think you can straighten up and fly right and end up in heaven someday, listen, you are not smart. I'm just not going to call you dumb, but you're just not smart. Because our righteousness, me at my best, me at my pastoring and Sunday school best, is filthy rags before God. Sheep are dumb, sheep are dirty. Sheep are defenseless. When being attacked by an animal, sheep are too dumb to even run. And even if they did, they're not fast at all. They're sitting ducks out there. A sheep has no fangs. It has no claws to slash with. It is absolutely defenseless. You never see sheep as a mascot for an athletic team, do you? I mean, you might see the Philadelphia Eagles, or you might see the Chicago Bulls, or the St. Louis Rams, but you never see the New England Ewes. or the New York Rams, or the Seattle Sheep. No, defenseless. And to be honest with you, when it comes to the enticements of Satan, when it comes to the attacks of the dark world of sin, we're helpless. Sin has a way of dragging us down to where we can get in over our heads. When the phone call from the doctor tells someone that they have an incurable sexually transmitted disease, when the papers for divorce are suddenly served, when the DUI results in the loss of yet another job, sheep are defenseless. They're dumb. They're dirty. They're directionless. Sheep have no sense of directions. We had a dog years ago by the name of Goldie. He was a yellow dog, in case you couldn't put that together. Goldie was a yellow-colored dog, and Goldie was a good dog, except Goldie had a tendency to run off. And he got off of his chain and run off. We never saw him again. My son cried and cried and cried and cried. Pray. God, please bring Goldie back. God, please bring Goldie back. 2 years passed by. And I kid you not, my wife is in the living room doing some things, cleaned up, looks out the window and sees Goldie 2 years later walk right past the house. She goes out in the front porch and says, "Goldie!" The dog looks at her like this. God answered my son's prayer, but the dog found his way home. It's an amazing story. Somebody picked him up, took him to the animal shelter. Two girls went down to the animal shelter to get the dog to take it to a nursing home over a summer and take it to a nursing home for old people to pet and people in recovery to pet. Two people in recovery loved the dog so much, they adopted the dog, took it home with them, stayed there for a year and a half, got loose and came right back home. Dogs have a sense of direction, but sheep don't. Sheep can't find their way back. A sheep is a wanderer. Sheep never intend to get lost, mind you, but a sheep merely wanders away. He eats a little bit of grass over here, then he sees another patch of grass, he eats a little grass over here, then he eats a little grass over here, then he eats a little grass over here, and finally he is far from the fold. He wanders away. He goes further and further. Before they are aware of it, they are out of the shepherd's care. They are away from the safety of the fold. Sheep just follow one another. Sheep follow one another. I read a story. It's so interesting. I read a story on Facebook the other day. Somewhere in Europe, there was a herd of sheep near a cliff. And one of the sheep fell off the cliff accidentally. And when it did, another sheep followed. Then another sheep followed. Then another sheep followed. Finally, it was like 1,500 sheep fell off the cliff. And the ones behind them survived because there was such a pallet and a soft cushion of dead sheep at the bottom of the hill. They will follow anyone. Hey, listen to me. We're justice done. We do drugs because people around us are doing drugs. We drink alcohol because people around us drink alcohol. We fornicate because other people are fornicating. We are just like sheep. We have no sense of direction. We mindlessly follow the standards and values of the crowd. Sinners will never come home on their own. Somebody's got to go get them. Somebody's got to go find them. Somebody's got to go into the dark night and say, sheep, sheep, sheep. Somebody's got to call for them. Somebody's got to look for them, because they'll never come home on their own. See, this is what drives the church to action, or should drive the Christian to action as well. That's what brought me here tonight. God's looking for you. He wants to be reunited with you. And all I'm doing is trying to point you back to Him. Notice, second of all, not only what the sheep knows about the shepherd knows about the sheep, but I want you to see also what the shepherd does about the sheep. It's one thing to know something. It's another thing to act on it. What the shepherd does about the condition of the sheep is our next insight into what Christ does for the lost sinner. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." Evidently, the good shepherd is serious about finding sheep. They may be dumb, they may be dirty, they may be directionless, but listen, the shepherd loves sheep. Notice, first of all, we see a love of his separation. The love of his separation. Look in verse number 4. You want to go back to our text. It says, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it?" Can you see this shepherd? In the evening, he's bringing in the sheep. You know, that's what they do. They have a small entrance into the fold. And as the sheep come through, the shepherd counts every one of them. 97, 98, 99. He's supposed to have 100 sheep, and he only has 99. I'm sure he went back and recounted. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Go all the way up to 99. He is missing one lost sheep. Now, in the eyes of a businessman, you cut your losses, right? Okay. So we lost one sheep. We still got 99 that we need to protect, that we need to watch out for. Why is this shepherd so concerned for one sheep over the 99? I want you to understand something. This parable is not about the value of the sheep. It's about the love of the shepherd. It's not about the worth of a sheep. Amen. The businessman would say, "Listen, cut your losses. Don't risk losing anyone else. Just let that one go and keep these." But no, the shepherd's love for the sheep drives him to make an unimaginable decision. A decision that to our minds doesn't even make sense, but that's the grace of God. That's what God does in salvation. Why would God impart eternal life to some drunk on the side of the road, or some sexual offender in a county jail? Why would He do that? That is grace. Unmerited, undeserved favor. It's about His love, not your work. This parable is about the shepherd's love. The shepherd looks out over the horizon and 1,000 scenarios go through his mind. It has fallen on the rocks. It's been eaten by wolves. It's stranded in a cave. And it is the love of the shepherd that incites him to leave the others behind and go after the sheep. Look at the drunk on the street. The inmate at the jail. The world says, "Throw them out on the dump heap of life. They're worthless." Oh, but some 2,000 years ago, the love of God for sin-sick man, humanity, caused Jesus to stretch both arms out and have them nailed to a cross and give His life's breath for their sin. How much does God love you? Take the arms of Jesus, pull them wide, and that is exactly how much God loves you. Jesus left the portals of glory for the jeers of earth on the cross because He loved you. And that old song that we sing so many times, "Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary." God did not sit up in heaven wondering what to do when man sinned. No, God determined to send His only begotten Son, Jesus. And Jesus determined to leave the heaven's glory to come die on the rugged cross. And as Paul said, in Galatians 2:20, he loved us and gave his life for us. You know, I don't know. I don't care what your family thinks about you. And I don't care what society may think about you. There is a God in heaven that loved you enough to send his son to die for you. Loves you enough to offer you eternal salvation through the blood of his dear son. My friend, Jesus loves you today. He died on the cross to rescue you from the death, wages of sin and death, and the sure judgment of God, and from the ruins and ravages of sin. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The love of his separation, the length of his search. Earlier in the message, I quoted Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. These words come from the encounter of Jesus with a man by the name of Zacchaeus. How many of you know the story of little Zacchaeus? Little Zacchaeus was a short man. He wanted to see Jesus, and so he climbed up a sycamore tree. Yeah, you guys are singing that little song in your head. For the Lord he wanted to see. And Jesus comes and says, Zacchaeus, come down, from going to your house today. I'm going to your house today. That's the story of Zacchaeus. He was a thief, a traitor to his people, a heartless man. And yet Jesus, we find him going to his house and eating with him. Why? Because Jesus is seeking after lost sheep. Jesus sat at Jacob's well with a well-known fornicator at the time, a woman. Why? Because Jesus seeks after sheep. The shepherd sought after this sheep until he found it. Can you see him out there in the night? I don't. What do you do? What do you do to call sheep? You know, sheep. I might get a goat or two out of that. I might get a goat or two. But you see that shepherd out there? He's got that lamb. He's got that tarp. Sheep, 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 sheep. Yeah, sheep, sheep, sheep. Whatever he uses to call. He's looking here and looking here and looking there. Dear sinner, how long has Jesus been calling out to you? How long has his voice run over your life? You see, you're here not by any accident tonight. The friend at work that tells you about Christ, the snippet of gospel message you hear on the television or radio, every single inroad of the gospel that makes its way to you is that shepherd calling out to you. Here, lost sheep, where are you at tonight? Come home, lost sheep. Come home. The gospel tract that you find on the find down at the gas station is a searchlight of the shepherd shining his light for you. What the shepherd says about the sheep, not only what he knows and what he does, but what does he say? Look at verse number 5. And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. All of a sudden, in the searching, the shepherd hears a faint cry. Do it right. Pitiful cry. He hears it and he says, oh, it's still alive. The shepherd runs over and finds the sheep, and he's rejoicing in his heart. He's overjoyed. I found the sheep. Notice, first of all, we see the refuge of his shoulder. The shepherd picks up his sheep. You know the shepherd's crook? You know the little thing that's supposed to be shepherd's got that hook on it? That's just not decoration. They use it to reach down and hook. There you go. And hook the sheep. Yeah. Reach down and hook the sheep in hard to reach places and pulls it up. And I don't know. Maybe the shepherd looks at the sheep and it's injured. It's not walking right. It fell down a little ledge. It's not. So the shepherd, what does it say he does? It says when he finds it, he layeth it on his shoulders. He reaches down, grabs the front two legs, the back two legs, and lifts it up and puts it upon his shoulders. It's a place of safety. For that sheep, it is a place of security. I want you to understand something. To be found by the shepherd means a place of security, a place of strength, a place of help. Listen, I'm not here to sell you a religion. I'm not here to put a weight on you. I'm here to invite you to one that will lift you up, that will secure you, that will hold you, that will give you victory in your life. He'll carry you through life. The same shoulders that could bear the cross to Calvary are the shoulders that are more than strong enough to carry your poor, lost soul all the way to glory. The refuge of his shoulders, the recovery of his sheep. Notice in verse number 5, he said, and when he hath found it, the shepherd found the sheep. Do you know that the shepherd had every right to claim the sheep? It was his. I don't care where it was his. You see, that sheep had been redeemed. It had been purchased somewhere along the line. Either that shepherd purchased its mom or daddy or purchased that sheep itself. But it is his. And now it is doubly his because now he has recovered the one that is lost. The same is true with us here tonight. God created you. You are his possession. All creation is God's. It belongs to him. And by virtue of the cross, God can exert a double remedy, a double claim on you to receive you by the blood of his Son. Jesus died on the cross for no sin of his own, but to redeem us. He has every right to claim us, to say to us, you are mine, I've bought you, you're my possession. It is a long way back to the fold, but Jesus is able to see you all the way to him, to take us all the way to glory. This is a great shepherd. Isn't it wonderful to be a lost sheep and to be found by the shepherd Jesus? Some of you out there saved tonight, I can understand. And I tell you what, it sure is good to know the shepherd. There've been so many times in my life he's carried me. He's helped me. He's come searching for me. He's pulled me along, mended my wounds, carried me along the path. Isn't it good to know the shepherd? The refuge of his shoulders, the recovery of the sheep, the rejoicing of the shepherd. Notice when verse number 5, it said that he found it rejoicing. What wonderful words from the shepherd. When the lost sheep was found, can you picture this? This is probably me. If I was the shepherd, I'm not the shepherd. But if I was the shepherd, I would find that sheep bay and I was like, Look over that ledge, see it down there, all wounded and stuck. I'd say, That's what you get for leaving the fold.
Yeah.
Oh, you need me now. You didn't need me earlier. You need me now, huh? I'd pull him up. I said, now this is a lesson you need to learn. You don't need to run off anymore. It's about time you've come around. No, Jesus didn't do that at all. He rejoiced. He didn't care how long it took to find him. He didn't care how long he had to travel. He didn't care how tired he was. He found the sheep and he rejoiced in it. He thrilled in it. Matter of fact, he called all of his family and friends to come and to rejoice with him. To come around and rejoice that the sheep has been found. Listen, there ain't nobody on this planet that's going to be more happier for you tonight if you put your trust in Jesus Christ than he himself. Nobody's going to be more happy. I mean, I'm sure the night chaplain, boy, that thrilled his heart. And me as a preacher, praise God, it would thrill my heart. There ain't nobody going to be as happy as Jesus when you come to know him in saving faith. When you believe upon him, great joy in heaven over one sin. But I want you to see something finally. Notice the repenting of the sin. Verse number 15. Oh, yeah. Then on the next page, verse number 7. Jesus says, now he's talking. Now he's not teaching parable anymore. He's applying it. Look at what he says in verse number 7. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons that need no repentance. Let's just stop right here. Let's get rid of all of our all of our sheep calls, all of our shepherd's hooks, everything like that. The story's over. You're not a sheep. You may sound like a sheep, but you're not a sheep. I'm not a sheep. I'm not a shepherd. You're not a sheep. We're human beings. We're people, not sheep. Jesus is not an earthly shepherd. He is a heavenly Savior. He is one that saves sinners, not necessarily sheep. The sheep is just an illustration. Let's get down where the rubber meets the road. Jesus wants you to be saved tonight. He wants you to repent. That means change direction. Turn from going for a life of sin and self and turn to someone. Turn to Jesus, trusting Him as Lord and Savior. You see, you're not a sheep. He's not going to come and hog tie you and throw you over His shoulders. You got to repent. Yeah. Just like I did March the 20th, 1994, when I was broken in my sin and shame. And I knew all the running in the world was only going to take me to a judgment day, standing before a holy God in the nakedness and all of my sin and all of my shame and all of my wickedness and everything that I'd ever heard coming as a testimony against me, everything that I'd ever did and coming as a witness against me. Hell would be my destiny. I had to repent right there. I said, God, I'm not going that way no more. I'm going to go this way. I'm changing direction. I'm turning to You. I'm trusting You. You've got to repent. Ain't no two ways about it. You must repent. For God commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because He's appointed a day in which He'll judge the world in righteousness by that man whom He hath ordained, whereof He giveth assurance unto all men in that He raised him from the dead. Just as sure as Jesus got up out of the grave, it's a sure sign that if you don't repent, you'll stand before Him in judgment. Repent today. Come to Jesus. Jesus loves you. He gave His life for you. The Heavenly Father loves you. He sent His Son for you. Come to Jesus today. Are you lost? Stranded on an island of sin and shame, dreading the day of coming judgment when you'll stand before God and give an account of your life for rebellion? The shepherd is seeking you tonight. He's looking for you. And no matter how many times you have ignored His call, He still says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Call upon Him while He is near. Isaiah tells us, oh, call upon Him while He's now. Why He's here? Why He's speaking to your heart? Don't put up that front. You're too cool for Sunday school. Too cool to listen to some backwards preacher. I'm telling you, this is reality. The Word of God, the resurrection of Jesus Christ verifies everything that is written in this book. He's coming in judgment, and your only plea is to surrender, to repent, and to come to Christ. Call out to Him while He is near. Call out to Jesus. Cry out to Him right now. Right now, before it's too late. You're not guaranteed to walk down this hall. You're not guaranteed tomorrow. You're not guaranteed the next 5 minutes. Come to Jesus today. Don't put it off. Every head bowed, every eye closed. You're here this evening and never trusted Christ as Lord and Savior. No one looking in this room. You're here and you say, Brother Ronnie, I've never trusted Christ. You said a lot tonight, and I don't know. I'm a little bit scared, but I want you to pray for me. I've never trusted Christ. I've never been saved. I've never been found by the shepherd. Brother Ronnie, would you pray for me? Would there be one? Lift your hand, Brother Ronnie, pray for me. I'm not saved, and I know it. I know I'm not saved. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we love You. Thank You for the Lord Jesus. I entrust these men to Your care. God, You know the ones that are Yours. You know the ones that are not. God, I pray You'd continue to convict those that are not in this room, and they trust You as Lord and Savior. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
And all of God's people said,
Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Amen.
And Ronnie Brown is through in 38 minutes.
That's a record right there. That's a record.
Who knew it? Well, I'll tell you what, the Lord is good, isn't He?
That's Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Ronnie. We're ready to go ahead and take our showers and get a good night's sleep tonight. So if there's any questions, if there's anybody that needs special prayer, Brother Ronnie, be here for a few minutes now to be able to deal with you. Let's go ahead and dismiss. The first one to be dismissed will be the workers from downstairs in the kitchen. Thank you for your help. next will be those that work a job.
God bless you. Thank you for listening.
Remember, everybody, to get your towel and washcloth right away. Don't wait until later on tonight, because we want to pass them all out, and then there won't be any more in the box. Okay, so get in line for your towel and washcloth first. Next ones will be those who take a 5-minute shower or less. And the rest of us.
All right. Love you, brother. God bless you. Thank you so much. Thank you for listening. Thank you for listening. Appreciate it. God bless you.
Just want some prayer.
What's your name?
My name is Ulysses.
Ulysses, do you know the Lord? Have you been born again? All right. Ulysses, what can I pray for you about?
Just pray for me, man, and my family.
Oh, dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I love you. Thank you for Ulysses, how well he listened to your word tonight. Father, I pray you'd help him, and I pray you'd give him strength. Thank you for his love for you. I pray you continue to follow him, bless his family, protect them. God, I pray you'd use him for your honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, Ulysses. Thank you for listening tonight. Appreciate you coming. Do you know the Lord is your Savior?
Yes, I do.
Good.
But I just want you to know that you did a real good job.
Thank you for listening. I appreciate you listening. Praise
the
Lord.
I love you, man.
God bless you. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Thank you for listening.
I gotta tell you something.
Yes, sir.
You're into it.
All right. Well, God bless you.
Really good.
Well, do you know you know the Lord is your Savior? You've been born again. All right.
Come on.
Good. Well, I just got to ask, you know?
Yeah.
But you know the Lord? Good. Thank you for listening tonight. God bless you. Good to see you too, brother. Always enjoy
always
to see
good
you.
To hear.
Good to see you. God bless you.
Brother Ron.
Yeah.
Not only do I know him, he knows me.
That's right. That's what matters. That's what matters, right?
That's big time. Hey, sir. What is your name?
My name's Ronnie Brown.
Ronnie Brown?
Yeah.
I prayed the other night because I'm saved. I know I have an intimate relationship with
good.
God. I trust him entirely.
100%.
He gave me a paradigm shift 4 months ago. And I've known about God for a long time.
Yeah.
I just didn't know him.
That's good.
And then I spent
Praise
a lot of time
Lord.
With him. And we're in an environment I had only time to spend with him.
Good.
And opened my eyes to some things through J.I. Packer's book, Knowing God, and then it directed me back to the Word. And I
That's
learned
good stuff.
What it was like to be knowing him.
That's
truly
good.
Knowing him. And I prayed the other night, because all we hear is people come in and give these elementary messages about hellfire and brimstone and all that as God the judge.
Yeah.
I'm like, if I was not saved and I was in the positions that I've been in life, I would not want to be browbeaten every night with how bad I am.
Right.
And how unworthy I am, and how this vengeful, wrathful God wants to save me. And why would he want to save me? And why would I want to turn my life over to a vengeful God?
Right.
So I, one of the people that were there, and very constructively and encouragingly, said, I kind of went off. The Holy Spirit inspired. And I was like, man, you know, tell us why we need to know God.
Yeah.
Tell us how adequate he is, how sovereign he is, and how beautiful he is, and how he's never changing and unconditional and faithful in every way.
Yeah.
You know, tell us.
Yeah.
You know,
that
he gives us the spirit of adoption in which we can cry, Abba, Father, and tell us who we are in him, how he sees us.
Yeah.
He did exactly that, man.
Good.
Thank
good.
You
thank
so
you.
Much.
You're though. Welcome. You're welcome. Thank you for listening.
So
refreshing. Thank you for
I
listening.
I told you first, I'm a bricklayer. I work in the sun every day.
That's all right, man. That's
but then when he woke me up, like, nodded out, and then he woke me up, and it...
Well, thanks for listening.
The whole time.
You continue to follow the Lord, all right?
I will, man.
God bless you. Thank you for listening. You know the Lord is your Savior.
I do, but I've strayed.
Yeah. God is able. What's your first name?
Arthur.
Arthur?
Yeah.
Listen, God's able to restore us.
Amen.
You know the story of Peter, how he denied the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
I mean, this is the guy that would one day preach at Pentecost. I mean, the big day of the church.
Mm-hmm.
And yet just a few weeks earlier, he had betrayed the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
So there is restoration. I will pray for you, Arthur. Let me pray for you real quick. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for Arthur. And God, thank you for his honesty. Father, I pray you'd help him. God, I pray he would sense that restoration that he can have in the Lord Jesus. God, that I've experienced so many times. God, I've strayed from you so many times. And yet you have met with mercy and grace. God, help him to confess his sin, to confront it, to name it what it is. And then ask you to forgive it. And God, you promised your word, you will forgive us, cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And I pray you do that for Arthur. Father, we ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. I'll be praying for you, Arthur. You take care, brother. God bless you. You're welcome. You guys take care, all right? Be careful.
Brother Ronnie,
we'll see. Love you, buddy. I bless you. Thank you for listening so well. You be careful now. Thank you for listening.